Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's topic, how to do one-on-ones with shift workers. Here we go. One of the reasons we get, but one of the ones we get for not doing one-on-ones is that some managers, believe it or not, have folks working on different shifts than they themselves work, right? I mean, how many times have you heard that?
Yeah, a few thousand, yeah. And after we get over being like stunned, right? It's not hard. It's easy.
It's very easy.
Yeah. And then they say, oh, no, but I talk to them and my directs on those shifts don't actually want to spend time with me.
Yeah. Trust me, folks. They do.
They do. That's right. Yeah. And then the question is how, right? And we have three recommendations. One, it's not really a recommendation. It's just a reminder. When we say do one-on-ones with everybody, it's not so much that everybody's important. It's the absence of everybody is really bad. So all means all. Everybody. If they report to you, you do a one-on-one with them.
You mean it's not good for me if it's not good for me if I'm a direct and my boss is doing one-on-ones with everybody else?
With everybody else except for me. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And we mean even on different shifts. It doesn't matter. Shift, we don't care what shift they're on if they report to you. If you're responsible for them, if you're responsible for their output, if you take credit for their output, if you're responsible if they make a mistake, you do a one-on-one with them no matter what. And the two other simple guidances, you meet them on their shift. And the way you do that is you just either come in early or stay late. Not hard.
Okay. So is there anything to say other than all means all, even if they're in different shifts? Do we really have to spell that
out? Well, a couple of things. We always recommend you do one-on-ones with all of your directs. I mean, like you said, to leave off folks on a different shift is a much bigger statement about how one-on-ones really don't matter than most managers realize. Either you do one-on-ones with everybody, or you ought to ask yourself, am I going to do them at all? Because you're basically saying, I want to spend a half an hour with this person, but not with this other person. And you're going to create a second-class citizenry that's not,
it's not
a long
helpful.
Message.
Not helpful. That's
right. It'll infect the people you're doing the one-on-ones with as well. They don't like it either after a fashion. Look, we even recommend doing one-on-ones with contractors who are your directs.
Oh, well, that sets it up great, right? So think about what happens when you're doing one-on-ones with contractors, say at 2 p.m. every Tuesday, and then you're not doing them with your 2 to 3 maintenance techs that you got on a night shift or a swing shift. That's a great message there.
Yeah. What it literally says is I want to do something convenient for me, but because you're on a different shift, you're not that important. Or it may be you're important, but I'm just really lazy. I wouldn't dream of working the same shift you do.
Right. And not our listeners. We're talking about the people who are not listening to the podcast because clearly, none of you would do that.
Yeah. Look, the purpose of one-on-ones is to improve the results of your directs by improving your relationship with them. It's not designed to be happy time. Okay. The purpose of one-on-ones is to improve results by improving relationships. Okay. Now, you guys who are high D's and high C's, like Mike and sometimes like me, it's counterintuitive to you. But look, it's overwhelmingly borne out by all the data we have. Better relationships lead to better results. It improves communication. It improves trust. And organizations are meant for the specialization of labor. And that causes a need to increase communication in order to overcome the negatives of specialization of labor. So, and you can't improve your relationship with your directs if all you're doing is send them emails for them to read when you're not at work. It just doesn't work. You just can't do it. If they work for you, I don't care what shift they're on. I don't care how much different their work is than you. I don't care whether you think there's not a lot in common. If you're their boss and you're not doing one-on-ones with them, the message you're sending is, I don't care. And if you send that message and then you really need them, what makes you think they're going to give you their best effort? What makes you think they're going to step up? What makes you think that they're going to work hard? I mean, look, it'd be great if you hired professionals, but if you didn't hire them, you don't know why they were hired. You don't know how good they are. Look, some managers go even further and say, oh, well, they report to me, you know, sort of. But really, their team is on their shift, right? They work with the people on their shift. And that foreman or their shift lead is closer to what most people would call their boss. right?
But of course, you as a manager are not requiring your shift leaders to do one-on-ones. So
yeah. And everybody has a rationale. Oh, there's unions and there's this and that. I respect all that. But look, it's a lame excuse. Either they work for you or they don't. To me, that comment is really about abdication. I'm their manager, and I wouldn't doubt it a minute if somebody said, I'll take credit when they do good, but I'm not going to be all that helpful. And of course, what happens is you leave them alone, and then when there's a problem, it festers before it gets bad enough, and then you have to spend a bunch of time on it, and then you begin to see them as a problem. And the problem was started to fester when you didn't pay attention on a regular basis. If you want to have a relationship, you've got to pay attention on a regular basis.
Right. Well, what if somebody tells me that their folks on the night shift don't want their, you know, interference? They don't want their manager involved.
Yeah, okay. First of all, of course they don't. A lot of people on the night shift like the fact that they're undermanaged, right? They're attracted to people who say, yeah, leave me alone, let me do it. And although some people start on the night shift, they don't like it. And then their supervisor, their foreman says, well, we're special. We get more done than the day shift because we don't have managers poking their nose in here. We don't have to give tours. Nobody wants to join us. And unfortunately, they create an environment of us versus the organization. But look, guys, the fact that they don't want to be managed doesn't change the fact that you manage them effectively will improve their performance. Now, they might resist a little bit because of the culture of night shift or swing shift or whatever, but we encourage you to fight through their initial resistance in the same way that we tell you for somebody on your shift that if they cross their arms and say, I don't have anything to say, the first couple of one-on-ones, to persevere. If every new managerial effort, new change in your behavior, managerial system, new managerial approach was immediately greeted by higher performance and open arms, this job would be a lot easier. We'd be done. We just cycle through all of them, compare them all to one another, figured out which one gives the most results, and we choose it. But there's not a lot of really good data on a lot of that because people push back once or twice and managers go away. That's where we get the phrase flavor of the month.
Right.
Okay. What you discover on the other side of their resistance is they'll say, hey, that's the best boss I ever had. He's the only guy who ever came in here regularly when I was here, and he wasn't supposed to be here, and he came in here to talk to me about what was going on. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's what people say. Now, it may not appear that way, but gosh, if it were easy, as I've said before, we'd have third graders doing your job, and the pay would be a lot less.
Okay, but if they're working on a shift other than when the manager is working, then it's harder, right? So you convinced me. Dude, it's been, I don't know, we've been doing this podcast for like 7 years almost. You finally convinced me. I give up.
Yeah, okay. All right.
I have people on shift.
Beat you to death with a 7-year long stick.
I'm a slow learner, but I get there. So yeah. I know I should. I know it'd be more effective for me to do it. So how do I do it? What do I need to do differently?
Yeah, it's simple in principle. You meet them on their shift. No matter whom you've got on what shift, you figure out your calendar so that you can come in on their shift to conduct your one-on-one with them during the hours they're scheduled to be at work, whether you're scheduled to be at work at that time or not. And frankly, you're a manager. Are you really thinking of yourself as being scheduled to be at work? How many people have we talked to, Mike, who act as if I'm 24/7 and, you know, I'm exempt, right?
Too many.
Yeah. Most managers are on standard day shifts, 8 to 5 or something like that. You know, it's funny. We talk about day shifts and we talk about, well, all shifts are important. But, you know, coming off night shift or coming off swing shift, to many people, it's thought of a benefit or a promotion. There are people who get hired and they say, well, your first thing is always night shift, right? And don't believe the people who say, we leave the night shift guy alone because nobody else likes it. He likes it. He's staying there. It's all good. Now, that may be true. But if their response to that is, I don't have to come in at nights, he handles it, I'll leave it alone, wrong. A real leader will say, no, every shift matters. And every shift, provided you're an effective person, you can be better. You can make that shift better by managing. The moment we say, oh, somebody's not, he was not going to get better by being managed. Wow. That's a shocking,
Start looking revelation. For a new job because you're not useful anymore. Yeah.
And so the idea that getting on day shift is a promotion, and many people say, I'm thrilled I'm on days, that says something about those other shifts. Now, look, it would be easier on you for them to come to you. And many people have assumed this because we've said to people, your direct comes to you or your desk when they're on the same shift. But that's not at all equivalent. In order for them to come to see you during the day shift, you may be messing with their sleep time, or even worse, from their family. You're messing with their family time. And we just... we won't recommend that. Look, there are people who tell us, oh, I have them come to me because if, this is funny, if I were to go to them, they would tell me they have to be out on the line. Now, this is not always true of shifts, guys. There are some people who work shifts and there are night shifts that people aren't on a production floor. But I've heard this for 25 years. I've been in thousands of plants, I think, in my career.
And you think after all that time, you'd finally listen to them? I mean, really? Come on now.
Yeah, you'd think. Well, no, some people are listening. No, Mark's not going to listen. Yeah, I would listen. But this is the most completely absurd thing I hear. Okay? The idea that a manager can't meet with someone on the floor, one of their directs, because there are shift workers out on the floor, they're in the plant, they're on the line. This is a joke, okay? People say that, and people who haven't been in plants believe it to be true. Plants are like every place else. They're a workplace, and people have normal productivity and reasonable schedules, okay?
Yeah.
Those same workers out on the plant floor, they have time for lunch. They have time for training. They have time to talk to HR when they want to make time to talk to HR. They have time to check on their paychecks. They have time to check on the reimbursement for their college classes. They have time to take breaks. Lots of them have time to work on projects with other people across the plant. They have time to go find the parts guy, time to talk to their foreman,
yeah,
who, by the way, goes and talks to them all the time, and they don't even suggest to the foreman, the plant foreman, that, you know, I don't have time for you, I'm on the floor. They have time to talk to their union steward. They have time to make phone calls. They have time to take smoke breaks. The idea that floor personnel can't be interrupted is one of the biggest myths of production lines today. If you're a day shift person, maybe you're in finance, maybe you're in IT, maybe you're in operations, maybe you're in marketing, and you're attached to a plant, could be anywhere in the world. And they tell you, the people in the plant say, ah, you really can't come out there. It's, you know, yeah. It's a lie. It's not true.
Maybe we need to talk Eldon into letting us go up to Maquantico and going to the plant and like taking video of managers standing there on the shop floor with clipboards in hand,
yeah,
doing one-on-ones to prove this to some folks. Maybe that'd be helpful.
Yeah.
Let's call him up.
We could talk to Ken too. And Ken would say, sure, go on out. And I remember very clearly when Ken first met me, Ken didn't like me at all.
But shocker.
I remember him coming to me. I came coming to me like 3 months later and saying, I tried those one-on-ones and they work.
I still don't like you.
Guy. Great guy. Really, well, Ken went out of his way to make me feel welcome, and I'll never forget it.
He's a good guy.
But yeah, look, it's a myth. It's false. Now, you don't have the run of the floor. There are times you got to be careful. You got to be safe. You got to be respectful. But you don't have the run of your people in the office either when they're in meetings. You don't interrupt them in meetings and just, you know, people don't get chained to their production line position in a little box, three feet by 3 feet, 9 foot square, and say, do your job 8 to 5 or, you know, or 6 to 2 or swing shift, you know, 2 to 10 or 10 to 6. They don't. So don't believe it. Okay. You can go to the night shift and you can have one-on-ones, period. Now it might behoove you if you're a young manager to make friends with the foreman and say, look, I want to talk to you about something. These guys work for me. I'm responsible for them. I want some time with them. I'm willing to listen to you. I'm willing to take suggestions. I'm willing to grovel a little bit. And I'm going to have time with my people. One more thing I want to say about shift work, and this is actually what caused me to write this cast. I was reading somewhere, I don't remember where, and this is true of all management and leadership positions, but leadership particularly will tell you this, particularly executive leaders. There's a phrase they have. You have to go see. An equivalent one from the military is never believe the first report from the front, right? If it surprises you, wait, because the front's going to change. But more importantly, go see, okay? That's the phrase. You have to go see. Reports don't tell the whole story. Reports don't tell you what happened. They give you a version of events. And let me say something else. Don't trust what you're told. You have to go see. Don't believe the reports about second shift. It may be that second shift or swing shift outproduces first shift.
Yeah.
And there may be a jackass boss cracking the whip and scaring people to death. And you need to know that.
Yeah, you've always told me, I remember that you told me one time, trust and verify, right?
Yeah, that's the other half, right? The Russian is trust but verify, and Horseman's Law is trust and verify. Yeah, I trust what I hear from the floor, you know, in the reports and so on. And I know what the culture is. I know what the reputation is of second shift or swing shift and night shift. And I'm going to go see. And when people say, you know, there'll be guys around you. There'll be other fellow managers. If you're young, they're going to say, no, you don't need to. You know, why do you want to do that or whatever? Oh, you got to put on steel-toed shoes. Geez, your guys put on steel-toed shoes every day. Why would that be a problem? And you know, the first time they're going to kid you, new shoes? Yeah. I look like a dork, don't I? God dang it. Take your steel-toed shoes home and work in the yard with them and then clean them off. They don't look so new.
Yeah, scuff them up. Put them in your dryer. Let them run for an hour or so just to scuff them up a little bit.
Yeah. So, guys, you have to go see. Don't believe what you're told. You have to go see.
Okay. We'll say I want to make it hard on you. For whatever reason, I can't go work on their shift. What alternatives do I have? Am I off the hook now that I can't work their shift?
Well, what do you mean you can't work their shift? No, look. Let's say I work 8 to 5. And your shift starts at 6 at night and goes to 2 in the morning.
Well, I can't work from 6 to 2 in the morning for whatever reason. I got a baby at home.
Yeah, whatever. I'm cool with that. Look, the way you meet people on their shift is you come in early one day a week and catch people coming off their shift, or you stay late one day a week and catch people coming on their shift,
yeah.
Or you do a combination of both. Sometimes you just have a really long day. Tuesday is 14 hours or something, which I think is dumb. Or you do a combination. On Tuesday, you come in early, and on Thursday, you stay late. You know, Tuesday, you come in at 10. You come in late at 10. You're not that important. Your boss will give you some slack. And then stay until 8, until 2000, right? That's a 10-hour day. Everybody seems to want to impress me in the last 6 months or so with the hours they work. Hours are not the answer, folks. It's not the answer. If there's a shift starting at 6 o'clock, that gives you a couple of slots, 2 or 3 slots for one-on-ones between, say, 6:30 and 8 o'clock. Now, look, we're smart guys. We've been in many plant floors. We don't recommend having a one-on-one right as soon as somebody starts their shift. There's usually shift handoffs. There's changeovers that would take precedence. You don't want to get in the way of that. You want to find out where the setup is. You want to find out what they did on the first shift, how many melts they had, how many production quality issues they had, how many stoppages they had, how many failures they had, what's the resin mix. All kinds of things. They're having trouble with colors, a billion different things. Okay. A different day of the week, you could come in early. Come in at 4 a.m. And by the way, one of the things I've learned is if you normally get in at 8, I've discovered that coming in at 6 a.m. is not really that much better. And the reason for that is because if you come in at 6 a.m., your family's probably awake by the time you're leaving to come into work. Many families are. What I found is if you're going to get up before your spouse gets up and you're going to get up and not going to be helpful with the kids, it's way better for you to be completely gone.
Right.
And yeah. So go to bed early one night. Go to bed at 9 o'clock. Get up at 3:30 or 3. Yeah, I know that sounds terrible, but you know what? It's not easy managing people on another shift. And are you going to tell me you won't go to bed at 9 and get up at 3 for somebody who comes in at 6 in the morning? So get up at 3, be there at 4. And for somebody going off shift at 6 o'clock, you know, I would say between 4 and 5:30 before they start worrying about their changeover, you could fit 2 or 3 slots in there. And you came in at 4, so leave the office at 2 that day. Yeah, some people are rolling their eyes. Okay, fine. If you believe in one-on-ones and you believe those guys work for you and you believe they're of value to you, then okay, come in at 4 and go home at 5 or 6. Okay, impress me. 12, 13, 14 hours. Yay, lucky you. But trust us, any political negatives of you leaving early are going to be outweighed by the performance improvements over time that you get because of the time you spent with your directs on their shift. And not trying to just come see them because you came in 15 minutes early and wave at them in the parking lot. I'll tell you, there'll be other guys who say, you don't need to do that. And just put in the time. John Hoffman, one of my best friends, the guy with the best officer efficiency reviews of anyone I ever saw in all my years of recruiting officers. And one of the finest leaders, if not the finest leader of our age I've ever seen, just said once, you know, I care about my guys. I'll be where they are doing what they do. And he'll joke about it. He's like, I'm not that smart. He just says, I knew my guys backwards and forwards, and they did anything for me. And the only way you're going to know people on a shift differently than you is come in, go and see, and then talk, and then listen. And one more thing, I have to say something. People tell me, oh, I got guys on swing shift. In case you don't know it, folks, there are about a billion different types of shifts. My favorite one, believe it or not, you'll be shocked at this, is the Navy at sea, the underway shift.
Thing. Oh, you're
kidding. They do it.
Come on.
I'm serious. I'm telling you, Navy underway, they do 18-hour days. You're on shift, and then you're going off shift, and then you're at rest, and you do 18-hour days, and you sort of forget about what, you know, you're constantly moving your shift time 6 hours earlier, and it works like a charm. And the ones I hate the most are rotating shifts. And as a general rule, the more teams of people it takes to cover a 2-week period, the more I hate the shift, because they're just hard to understand. And people's lives, the majority of people don't work shift work. And so if a large portion of a community has hard to remember shift schedules, it makes for hard family lives. Not to say that it's not good for the business, but rotating shifts, I think, I mean, we're not ever going to have a podcast about how to do shifts, because this is an organizational tool, this is manager tools, but holy Toledo, rotating shifts where we don't want anybody to only be on the night shift. And so every 2 weeks, everybody changes shifts from days to swing to night is mind boggling. I don't get that. I mean, I don't know anybody who loves it. There may be a couple of people I've met who love it, but the vast majority of people hate it. And I'm like, and I think it just ruins people from a standpoint of sleep. It's really, really hard. But for those of you who don't know, when I say swing shift, a typical swing shift starts at 2 PM and goes to 10 PM. A typical shift, a 3-shift, 24-hour day, 8-hour shifts times 3, 24 hours, is 6 AM to 2. That's first shift. 2 to 10, that's the swing. And 10 to 6 is either the night shift, or some people call it the midnight shift. And if you have people on the swing shift, don't tell me you have people on a different shift than you if you're working 8 to 5, because they're at work when you are.
Yeah, exactly.
And the fact that they're sometimes at work when you're not doesn't change the fact that you got a 3 or 4 hour overlap. So don't make them come into the morning. Do your one-on-one with them between 2 and 5 when you're there. You know, gee whiz. Get those people during the overlap of your day and their day. Pretty simple.
The nod to the Navy, I tell you, dude, you've gone too far. I had a great aunt who was a communist, and I loved her to death. But this whole Navy thing, I think it's just taking it too far.
Well, I think I said in a recent cast, or maybe it was on the Things I Think, I quoted this new biography of the admirals, one of whom was Admiral Nimitz, who was born in Fredericksburg, the town that I've lived in for the last 25 years. And Nimitz is one of the most loved senior leaders, and I'm sure in the history of mankind, just a wonderful person. And I happen to love the whole Pacific War, World War II, and the strategy of it, and Nimitz and King and Halsey and so on. And the fact is, the Navy does do a few things pretty well.
Yeah, they
do. Not the important things, mind you, but no.
Well, for any new listeners, if you don't know, Mark and I are Army guys, so that's yeah. The whole Navy thing going on. So that's okay. So I'm sorry. That's I'm okay. Sure people are not interested in that.
Go Army, beat Navy. Sometime soon, anyway.
Someday, please, yeah. Please.
So can we finish this?
Yeah,
we've been talking about the Navy. Somebody's going to call us and tell us something about the recent Army-Navy football game history, and we're not going to like it. Just wrapping up. If you're going to do one-on-ones, you do them with everybody, even if they're on different shifts than you. You got to meet them on their shift, and you got to come in early. You got to stay late to do it, generally speaking. Folks, we promise not doing one-on-ones with people on shift is dangerous, both to people on shift and to people who are on the same shift as you. It sends the wrong message. The laziness it implies, sorry, we know you're not lazy, but it implies laziness. It demeans your relationships with everybody. Come in a little early, stay a little late, and the value will be there. How can you honestly defend doing email on your BlackBerry at 10 p.m. at home and not do one-on-ones at 7 p.m. with people who are at work?
Ooh, dude. Blow the bell. Blow the bell.
That's I saved tough. That for last.
All right, dude. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, partner.
We'll see you, man. Bye. Thanks, everyone. Hope you enjoyed it, and hope we'll see you back here again next week. In the meantime, have a great one. So long.